Thank you, Lord Jesus. If I had 10,000 lives, I couldn't praise Him enough, brother, sister. He's worthy of praise. Anytime you know you got a hard time, you go get sick, and the Lord just comes on the scene. Doesn't it just do something to you? You know, it's just, He's such a good God, brother, sister. I've given my energy, my strength, my effort to the devil so long, I got a lot of making up to do to the Lord. So, amen. Sometimes I feel like I'm crazy even to myself, but then I remember how crazy in love the Lord was about me. Amen. Just think, you know, as the Bible said, hardly for a righteous would one even dare to die, but God commendeth love to us, that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Oh, He's worthy of praise. Hallelujah. He's worthy of honor.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles this afternoon, let's turn to James chapter 1. It's good to have each one here. Sabotas, God bless you all. It's good to have you with us this afternoon. Good to see Sister Shirley in the house of God again. God giving her strength. Praise the Lord. That's right. Praise His name. Sure appreciate our sister. Appreciate all those that come to the house of the Lord and support Christ, really. That, if you came to support me, well, that'll run out. If you came to support this building, who knows, they might take it from us. But if you came to support the Word, it don't matter what they do. They don't matter what persecution comes. Amen. You're standing on sure ground.
Amen.
Amen. Give your heart to the Word, brother, sister. There's a lot of preachers who try to build their own kingdom, but this ain't one. We're here to build the kingdom of God.
Amen.
That's right. Stay here in the book of James this afternoon. Been doing the study on this part 3 today. So James chapter 1, and let's go to verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. And he, beholding himself, goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. I'd like to speak this afternoon on pure, excuseless religion. Pure, excuseless religion. Let's bow our heads before the Lord. With every head bowed and every eye closed, is there a need on your heart you'd like to lift up? Say, Lord, I lift my hand, but you know my request. God bless you. Look at those hands. God knows your requests. Just hold them up there in faith now as we invite the Lord. Heavenly Father, we invite you, Lord, into this service this afternoon. We just roll the red carpet out with our praise, with our hearts, Lord. We say, you're the guest of honor this afternoon, Lord. May you come and just sweep through all of our souls and rid us of anything that's not like you, Lord, and make us what we ought to be in Christ, Father. We thank you for the blood, and we pray that you'll forgive us, Lord, of all of our shortcomings and the things that we've done wrong. May that blood be there as an atonement for us. And may the Holy Spirit be pleased to dwell in every heart that's here. Move in this service, I pray. Speak through my lips by the Holy Ghost. But may every heart hear by the Holy Ghost as well. And may the devil be defeated on every side, Father. If there's any sickness here, I pray that the Holy Spirit would send its healing power to them and raise them up for your glory. If there's any lost in sin and shame, may you come, Lord, and deliver the captive and show them freedom in Christ. Fill every soul to overflowing with the presence of God, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated this afternoon. As we've started this book of James, I'm going to backdrop here for a little bit. The book of James is written to believers, just like all the epistles. They're written to those who have found Christ. They're written to those who are trying to serve the Lord. And if you haven't come to that place yet, you need to get to where you know that you're saved by the grace of God. And God has witnessed that in your life by filling you with the Holy Ghost, brother, sister. The apostles went everywhere in the book of Acts and they had one message. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. That's right. Because until a man's got the Spirit of God in him, there's nothing to lead the man on the right path. A man with his own spirit, he's all who knows where. He's a man driving, he's in a car and got no wheels. That's right. He's in a car and the steering don't turn the right way. It goes every which way. And a man think, well, I'm getting along all right. Well, when you begin to look at the progress of what we made in time, you think, man, we kind of wasted that away. But that's right. But once God gives you the Holy Ghost, he just go ahead and you just get a clunker. And he gives you something that goes so fast that the spaceship can't keep up with it. Amen. That's right. It moves so fast that just a thought would get it to where you need to be. Amen. Praise the Lord. But once a man has found that place, he's found that he's saved by the grace of God, it's not time to just, you know, people get the idea of grace that we just do whatever we want and we don't worry about it. No, God don't run his business that way. And people think God's not running a business, but yet Jesus said himself, I must be about my Father's business. So God is running a business. It ain't ran like a man runs a business where he's shady, you cheat, you steal. It don't matter. He's just trying to make a buck. God's running a business, trying everything he can to work everything he could possibly do to bring a human heart back to salvation. And he's got a business on it, brother, sister. And it might seem cut and dry. It might seem, why do we only got one protocol? It's because he's running the business the way it needs to be ran. And if you don't like it, you need to humble yourself and recognize that this boss ain't a man that can make a mistake or lie or cheat or steal. This is one that thought about it since eternity. And he laid out the best way to bring a man to salvation. And it's not up to you and I to bring our 2 cents on why God's program don't work. If God's program ain't working in your life, you're not in God's program, and that's the problem. Hallelujah! And that happens to an unbeliever automatically, but a believer can fall into that. A believer can go and begin to doubt the Word. He can begin to think his own thoughts, and James is here in the Bible to lay it out plain. Don't you dare do that. Amen. Don't you ever think that God is going to give you so much revelation, you got a better revelation than God did. No. Revelation isn't, it's not a creation, brother, sister. Let me make sure you understand that. Revelation is an uncovering. Revelation means God already knew it. He already done spoke it, but now he's revealed it to you and shown it to you what he already knew, brother, sister. And when you begin to realize that the Holy Ghost filling of a believer is a revelation that you are one of God's children since the foundation of the world, it just breaks all the yokes, brother, sister. You ain't got to pull. You ain't got to push. There's just something on the inside that says, blessed be the name of the Lord. He's worthy of praise, brother, sister. But we're living in a day, and as I said, if you're an unbeliever, you're gonna be even more upset with this. But a believer, he's not trying to find loopholes. He's trying to find every narrow way he can. He's trying to find, I want to be pleasing to my Lord. I don't want any deviations at all. I don't want to be halfway Christian. I want to do it all with all my heart, or there ain't no point in doing it, brother, sister. Look, I don't care if you're 99.9% faithful to your wife. That 0.1% will ruin your marriage. That's right. It's just that one little look to another woman, you might as well just forget it. You done broke the chain. That's right. It's either you two or one, or it ain't nothing. And that's only a type of us in Christ. Amen. That's only a shadow of a shadow of a shadow of how dependent we ought to be on the Lord. How sold out we ought to be on loving him, no matter what the devil would bring into our lives. But what's happening this day? We've got an excuse for every reason why we can't serve the Lord. And here comes James on the scene. He says, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. And my goodness, is that if we ain't hearing trumpets on every side, some coming from Trump, some coming from others, saying the exact opposite of what we just read. Don't be slow to speak. Speak your mind. Tell them like it is. Be slow to hear or slow to speak, swift to hear. They ain't got no time for nobody else. They're banging their horns so loud you don't even hear nothing else going on. And if you're not careful, brother, sister, the devil's got so many horns, so many voices going every which way. If you don't take time to slow down and be slow to hear, you'll think that the voice of the devil is actually the voice of God. And vice versa. Because the devil, he's a good impersonator. That's one thing he's good at. He's a good fake. He's a good imposter. But brother, sister, is one who always outdoes him. Yeah. And that's the Holy Ghost. He ain't never beat the Holy Ghost one time, and don't let the devil ever tell you that he can beat the Word. It's just a scarecrow. He's just putting it out there. Just to, if he can get you to believe that, then he's got you. But if you'll just keep on pressing through, brother, sister, you'll fall every side every time. If you got a bum knee or bum ankle, you know how it is, and your shoulder's hurting, if you'll just say, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, wait, God gave me this body. God gave me this body. He made it in the first place. He promised healing in the Scripture. I'm a believer. I identify with it. I receive it, Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Be slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness. You do it. You put it away. Oh, but brother, you don't understand how hard it is in this day. We live in the hardest age it ever was to be a Christian. Boo-hoo.
Right. Amen.
It's going to be flat, I'm going to tell you. But show me where James gives you an excuse not to do it.
Right.
He says, yeah, there's unbelief on earth the whole time. Sure, the devil's got more avenues for it today, but that don't mean nothing because God is still God. So let me just give you a graph. Here's what we see. We see, you know, sin was this much in this day, then it got to be this much. And then it got to be this much, and now it's this much in our day. And we think, oh my man, this is going to be hard to overcome. But if you compare that to the power of God, it looks like this, and it was this much sin, and then this much sin, and then this much, and then this much. Because he's so far beyond anything the devil's ever come out with. That's why he didn't bother. Look, God could have kept those, I think it's 100 million demons, it says in the book of Revelation, could have kept them up, caged up. But he said, I'll loose them. Hallelujah! Why'd he lose them? Because he knows you can't do nothing, devil. I done chose those. Look, Job was a man after God's own heart. Come on. He was a man that was sold out. He was a man that had faith. He said, go ahead, devil, have him. Go ahead, take his kids. Listen, that was before he attacked his own body. He took his children. He took his family. He took his job. He took all the things that we put our stock in. But Job had something greater than all that. Job had a faith in his heart that I'm here to serve the Lord Jesus, or serve the Lord Jehovah, which we now know is the Lord Jesus. That's right. And he was so sold out to where even the devil, he said, look, I'll up the ante. Let me skin for skin. Let me touch his skin. He'll deny you. Didn't work. Why? Because God was boasting on his child, brother, sister. It wasn't that Job was a great man. It was that God had put a great man in him, and he knew that the devil couldn't beat that one because he was the one that kicked him out of heaven in the first place, living in another vessel. Glory to God. And God has opened up the seals in this day to show you that the bride of Christ is merely another form of Jesus Christ in the last day. But the same man that whipped the devil on the shores of Galilee is now living through you, brother, sister. That's been filled with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
The devil can't stand it. He can't defeat it. He can't do nothing about it. If you'll just speak that word with a heart full of faith, he'll run for the hills just like he did out of Legion.
Amen.
Well, you don't understand all these demons. Well, I don't know. I hope you don't got a legion of them. But Legion had a legion of devils. That's where he got his name. And a legion, I believe, is 3,000 to 6,000. Glory to God. And we give all that credit to that one devil in our life. I just can't overcome it, brother. I've been trying for... No. No. Come back. Come back to the Word. Come back to the man who was the Word. And those legions of devils, what did they say? They said they trembled. They said they shook. They said, are you come to destroy us?
Oh.
See, one version, one of the gospel says cast us out. One says destroy us. Amen. I believe that, brother, sister. Because every devil's going to be destroyed at the end of the... They don't have eternal life. No, they don't. They're coming to an end. And they know it. And they were trembling and said, you come in to destroy us before the time. Because we don't see judgment. He says, no, that's all right, but go. You know what they did? They went, brother Kent. They went so fast that the man, he woke up. So much to where even his buddies were like, whoa, who's this guy? This can't be Legion, no. And he was walking around with his right mind and everything else. Woo, glory. And I love it because he said, Lord, let me start up a denomination. I'll follow you wherever you go. I'll just us four no more. Come on, Jesus, let's go. Because remember, they tried to kill him. I don't know, man. This is free preaching today. But the Legion went out into a herd of swine, and that swine went off the hill, and all the people saw their money go away. And all of a sudden, we want Jesus out of here. Who cares about a man getting his soul delivered from the devil? We're here to make money. God help us to not do the same. What's worth more to you, one soul or your money? One soul or your time? What? See, this is where the kingdom of God's got to become first in your life, brother, sister. Because I just read it, actually. It was in the office. He says, don't take thought for meat or raiment or any of that. He said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. Amen. But you say, well, how am I going to get clothed? He said, don't do that, because if you seek first the kingdom, God already knows you need all this. He will give it to you. Why? Because God is God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So I don't know where it's going to come from. What does it matter? I don't know where salvation came from, but I'm sure glad I got it. Hallelujah. And if God can save my soul, He can give me some clothes to wear. He can give me a lunch today. That's right.
Amen.
Whew. Glory to God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness. That's where we got to stop. Not receive with excuses.
Right.
Not receive with every reason why it doesn't have to necessarily be the way the Bible said it was. Receive with meekness. What is meekness? It means to humble yourself, which I'm going to have to backdrop Wednesday just a little bit here. If you can't humble yourself to the Word, you'll get nowhere in the kingdom of God.
Right.
Nowhere. If you've got any thought of your own that you think is better than God's, it will not work.
Right.
God's program is perfect. God's program is right, and all you need, look, it's like this, brother, sister. When you begin to enter your own idea, you're trying to drive a nail with a screwdriver. And you can bang on it all day, and you might get a little progress. But the Lord's saying, look, stop it. Come here. Not only do I got a hammer, but I got a big, strong hand of faith that just drives it right down in one clear swoop. No, I need to do this. I need to miss church for this. I got to do this. I can't read my Bible today. I got to work. Now, you better work. Don't get me wrong. If there's anybody who's going to work in this day, it's the Christian.
Sure.
We ought to be the only ones with jobs, because we're the only people left working. Everybody else wants a free ride, don't they? And we'll take whoever gives it to us. That's right. Who cares about anyone else? And why? It's a pure, rotten, selfish generation that we've... And look, don't blame just this generation. What raised it?
Right.
The same selfish, self-centered people that they're just watching it escalate in their children. All of a sudden, they're realizing, man, this was kind of a bad idea.
Right.
Wasn't too bad when I was just getting a little bit here and here. And now this kid can't even brush his own teeth.
Right.
Come on. I can't even tie his shoes. He's got to wear Velcro. I like Velcro shoes. Don't get me wrong. Those are nice. Actually, I always wear slip-ons, but hey, when you wear these dress shoes as often as I do, I ain't got time to sit here and tie them every single day. We're just going to go on. But in the Bible, look, the first thing we've got to do, and this goes for every believer, an unbeliever, you got to do it first to even get into the kingdom, is humble yourself to the Word. That what the Word says about us as sinners is true. That your righteousness, according to God, is as filthy rags. And if you really want a good image for what that means, it means menstruous. The rags they used to, women, you know, before we had tampons and things. That's what God is, he's analogizing your righteousness to. Well, I'm a pretty good fella. No, you're not. You're dirty, filthy, nasty. Because even the things, look, remember where we were at, brother, sister, when we were in the world. Even the things you did that were good, why'd you do them? Because you were selfish. And you wanted to be, man, look at me. I'm Mr. Do-Gooder. I'm the best do-gooder that ever done good, ever good. You didn't care about that person. It's something that God puts in a human heart that actually cares about someone else to where you don't care about your return. You don't care about what anybody thinks about you. You would, character, real character is doing what's right regardless of who knows what happened. Because at the end of the day, you've recognized you're under the judge of one, and that's God Almighty, and He sees everything I do, everything I think, every motive I have. I might as well quit lying to Him and just fess up.
Amen.
Lord, I'm a dirty, rotten sinner. Help me, save me. That's what brings Him on the scene. Not that Pharisee that says, I'm a pretty good fellow, I fast, but the one that beat his chest down on the ground and say, Lord, have mercy on me, I'm a sinner. He said, that man left home justified.
Amen.
Glory to God. So tired of dried-eyed confessions. Can I say that enough? Brother, sister, when I got the Holy Ghost, it wasn't just, well, I guess I'll be all right, you know, if God don't give it to me today. No, I said, God, if you don't give it to me, I don't know what else to do. I'm not getting off this bed. I need something to happen in my life.
Sure.
And He came on the scene. Hallelujah. But as long as you're pretty good, you're not too bad of a fella, you can't get the salvation you need. That's right. Hallelujah. But Christians... look, we need to receive with meekness. the grafted word of God. That means you don't need to put your own thought. You don't need to bring you into the equation. It's the Lord said it. Amen. Everything in my feelings, everything my body's saying, everything my mind's saying, everything everybody's telling me is saying something else. But the Word told me that. Yes. Amen. I'm going to stay on it. Do we need specifics all the time, brother, sister? That can apply to any situation that you've ever gone through. Anything. I don't care what you've been tempted with. I don't care what kind of pain or sufferings come your way. If you'll take the Word that God is working everything out for your good, it will give you a peace that passes all understanding. It will take you from this world that's falling apart to a world that the devil can never touch. Amen. It was sealed out from it a long time ago, and he got no keys getting back. He had some keys, and those got taken away too. So we're in the clear, brother, sister. Let's humble ourselves before God and admit that his word is what we ought to do. See, people believe grace to the point. Grace, look, when you do fail, there's grace to pick you up. That's right. There's mercy to lead you back. But brother, sister, don't tell me that you love the things of the world and love God. Right. You don't. He said, Jesus said it very plainly. Look, and that's under the grace covenant. If you love the things of, or you love, you can't love God and mammon at the same time. Right. Because either when it's all broke down, you'll hate the one and love the other. Right. Or you'll love the one and despise the other. Right. You can't do it. And if Jesus said I can't do it, that means I can't do it. Anybody tried? This boy has. I've tried to serve both at the same time. Nope. You know what you really do? You're on the fence and the devil owns it. That's right. Well, you just hop on over that fence and get behind that word. There's a 500-foot wall that's been built a lot better than any man can make it because the devil hadn't wiggled his way in yet. That's right. James, just listen now. James 4:10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he shall lift you up. 1 Peter 5:5, likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. But I just want to be humble when it's convenient. No, it should be who you are, a humility. That's right. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. How many wants grace? Well, you can't receive it if you're proud. And you know why? Because you don't think you'll need it. If you've got pride in yourself that, again, you're a pretty good fellow, you're not that bad, then you have no means of accessing the grace that you need because the only way to get the grace is through faith. And the only way to rely on faith is to deny yourself because faith is saying, I'm believing in something I can't see, I can't touch, I can't handle, and I don't know a thing about it, but God said it and I rest on it. And that's the only thing that'll get you to where I need the Lord. And brother, sister, even after God gave you the Holy Ghost, he never required any believer to try to do anything for God without it. Amen. He never said, okay, now you're fine. Go ahead, do what you want. No, you're going to bear this load. No, I'm going to carry it through you. Uh-huh. Hallelujah. Sure. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Praise the Lord. Listen to this now. Images of Christ, 1959. And this old-fashioned gospel that we're talking about is washed in the blood of the Lamb. It may seem old-fashioned, but they'll have to come to it sooner or later. It's a worthy cause. Hold on to it with all you've got. It's a blood washed away. It's a blood washed way. It cleans a man up, not going out here drinking, smoking, riding around, and calling themselves Christians because they belong to a church. It's the clean, unadulterated Holy Spirit in the human life that reflects Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's why people today reject the new birth. Listen to me now. Oh, they've got what they call the new birth, a way of shaking hands with a pastor, but that's not a birth. The reason they won't accept it, that's why they'll go to church, because they can come in some intellectual way. God said, except a man be born again, he cannot even see the kingdom of God. No matter how intellectual you may be or how good a Christian you claim to be, you've got to be born again. And for you to be born a second time, brother, sister, that means you died. Amen. Amen. You can't live a dual life. No, you can't. You're either a sinner or saint. And a sinner's got to die before the saint can rise. Amen. But glory to God, if you've come to Calvary, if you've received the Holy Ghost, that man is dead. He's rotten in the grave. And the only thing God can see coming out of a Christian's life is Jesus Christ in the flesh again. Amen. Now, why would you turn down such a glorious thing? Something that Jesus promised. If a man's born, he's going to see the kingdom. That's right. If a man's born from heaven, all these promises are his now. It proves he's a citizen from glory. Why would people turn that down? Listen, you say, Brother Branham, I've tried to come to some, or let me back this up a little bit. So no matter how intellectual you may be or how good a Christian you claim to be, you got to be born again. You say, then Brother Branham, I'll have to come to some little mission? That doesn't mean that. It means you got to receive the new birth. You've got to be born again. This is a mixed audience, and I'm going to say something. What is a birth? If a birth happens in a straw tick, or it happens on the floor, or in a hospital room that's decorated in pink silk, it's a mess any way you take it. That's right. And so is the new birth. It's a mess any way you take it, but it produces life. Amen. Amen. It produces life. What kind of life? Servant life. To humble yourself, to deny yourself. That's the kind of life. Oh, they say, but I seen them crying and boo-hoo around the altar and carry on. Sure, they're being born. It's a mess. I don't care where you go. You might get up, your face all full of tears and your eyes red and your hands raw from beating the altar, but it's a birth. It does something to you. It makes you a servant. It takes the starch out of you. It makes an image molding new life, new creation. Maybe all messed up when you get up, but you're born again. No matter where you are, it makes a new life. It brings a new image life. It makes a servant out of you. You want to serve then. Jesus wanted to serve others, love one another, and we serve one another. And as we serve one another, we serve Him. So this life, that's what James was trying to get us to, is if this life is in you, look, you got to humble yourself to, Lord, if I got to look like an idiot, I don't care. That's right. I don't care what anyone thinks about me because I know you're watching, Lord. And I know you know if I mean business. And that goes for everything we do in Christianity, brother, sister. You want to be a witness for Christ and you're too timid? There's something wrong. There's something wrong because the Holy Ghost gets a hold of you. You better say it. Amen. Oh, we got quiet, but go ahead and praise Him anyways because it's true. God has made us His witnesses. And everywhere we go, He goes with us. Why? He's been born in us. It creates a new life. And no matter what we say, our lives are proving what we are. And we've got a life of people who just live for themselves. I hate to tell you this, but it's the truth. You're not serving the Lord. A man that serves himself isn't serving the Lord. A man that serves everyone else because he's serving the Lord is serving the Lord. Because that's what the Lord told you to do. Right. Said, well, you don't know what that man did to me. Oh, my. You've heard it said. Love your friends and hate your enemies. Oh, we love that grace teaching as long as we're on the beneficiary side. But the second we have to become the victim to believe in grace, whew, we got a problem with that. Why? You're putting yourself back in it again. Get a little pride about yourself again. Well, they did bad to me. I have to do bad to them. He's like, yeah, that's what it said in the Old Testament. But I say unto you, do good to them that hate you. Pray for those that despitefully use you. And you know what? You might find out that old Paul really did have a gift of God in his life. Woo, glory. Oh, man, that guy's serpent seed. Now, look, if that's true, you better know what you're talking about. God forbid you call a son of God serpent seed. Because Jesus said, if you don't stand and forgive your brothers, how is God going to forgive you? Right. But there is a time when man crossed the line. Don't let me go too far. Look, that's part of the Scriptures, too. John said, there's a sin unto death, and I don't say you pray for it. So there's men, when they turn down the Word and they turn down the cross of Christ and they say, I don't want nothing to do with that. That's just some crazy prophet religion. Sure. And begin to resist it and fight it. Something wrong. Because even, look, I don't believe in Baptist doctrine. I don't believe in Methodist doctrine. I don't believe in Catholic and all this stuff. But my whole life isn't surrounded in destroying their works. Why? Because as long as they're giving a grain to Christ, well, praise the Lord. At least they're doing something. I'd rather to be a church than a strip house over here. Well, I don't know. Maybe we believe that, maybe we don't. But at the end of the day, we're not here to stand against everything. We're here to stand for something. Because if we just preach on everything that's wrong all the time, you're never going to run out of material. And you know what you're going to create? You're going to create a bunch of legalists. You're going to create a bunch of people who are scared to death of the devil on every side because the devil's everywhere. Well, that's fine, but God's everywhere too. And God's in me. So wherever I am, there's God. So I don't need to worry about all these devils. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Why is it a shadow of death? Because the light's still shining. The only way you get a shadow is the light shining somewhere. So though I go through this valley and it looks shadowy, I know on the other side's the light. I ain't afraid of a bit. That's what David said. He's like, man, it's awful dark today. Woo, everybody's afraid of that giant. It's dark, but I can see the light shining over there. And if all God gave me was this stone. See, he didn't come up with no excuses. He said, Lord, if you call me, put a sword in my hand. That's how we pray. Lord, if I'm going to get up and pray, just give me such a burst of energy, I just have to. Yet we'll invest all of our energy, all of our time, all of our emotion into some frivolous thing of the world and wonder why we got no spiritual joy. Amen. I didn't think we'd be shouting too much, but that's all right because it's time to be Christians, brother, sister. We're living in a day where we've got to know that we're actually serving the Lord. Amen. Now listen. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 13. And Paul lays out love in the first part of this about what it does. And we understand that that is the Holy Ghost, brother, sister. That's that perfect love that the prophet was told is what we needed to cross over. And you hit verse 11 here. So remember what we just read back in James? He says, let me read this while you're sitting there and listen to what I'm saying. He says, for if we be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding in his natural face in a glass or a mirror, for instance. And he beholdeth himself, and he goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. So if we read here now, 1 Corinthians 13:11, he says, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. What's he saying is Christ, he has given us an image of who he is. And what is it? It's that perfect love. It's that life that's constantly lived for others. James and Paul weren't preaching something else. James was saying, stay in that law of liberty. Sure, could you sin? Yeah, you could. You're still saved by grace either way. Some people don't believe that, but I believe in absolute grace. That before you did a thing, God chose you or he didn't. And all we hear is proven. But see, there's such a law of liberty took over you. It's a law of liberty. Think about that. It's a law that restricts you to liberty, which is freedom. What's restricting you is that you could, but you don't want to. You could, but there's no desire for it. You could be selfish, but there's some in you that wants to live for that other brother. There's some in you that could pray all day for yourself, but you begin to think of sister so-and-so and say, Lord, they just need it. Why did Brother Branham many times at the end of a service, he said, don't pray for yourself, pray for your neighbor. Because they're praying for you. Because, brother, sister, if every Christian would pray for other Christians, we would all have millions of people praying for us. Instead, we pray for ourselves, and we have one, a person with no faith. Because you're not doing what the Word said. Hallelujah! And I'll tell you what, even if there ain't nobody praying for you and you're praying for everyone else, there's one who already prayed for you. Jesus said, I pray for these that'll believe through the Word that you'll keep them, Father. And God heard that prayer. I know that. Amen. Look into that law of liberty. Look into that law that God has given us as Christians, the law of grace. Can you see it, brothers? This is what unlocks a Christian to really be one, is they recognize that they are under the law of grace. Amen. That they could go out and do things. They could be like this. That none of that has anything to do with your salvation. And as long as you believe it does, you're bound. Amen. You're bound by legalistic cords. That's right. Come on now.
Sure.
And when I was a child, sure, when you first came in, we all went through that good, nice stage of legalism, didn't we? He just, why are they doing that? Can't they tell we removed him? And you just lost all grace and everything else. And before you know it, you're just as bad off as anyone else. But then you grow up in the Lord. And I believe that's part of our convert. I believe that needs to be there for a season. You need to get the foundation squared. We don't need any of these loopholes or any of that. We need that all gone. So when we begin to grow in Christ, they don't just grow into bigger loopholes.
Right.
David said, I've set the Lord always before me to keep me in all. Now, I don't want to be looking left or right. I want to look right on the path that God has given to me. Just like Dad quoted there, praise the Lord, because I was going to go to that Psalms 37:4 that we read. He said, delight thyself also in the Lord. I love how everyone just jumps right over that. He says, oh, look, we just pray and God will give us the desires of our hearts. No, he said something first. Delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give the desires of your heart. That's right. You don't just get the desires of your heart just because you ask Christ. If you're delighting in the Lord, then you're in the Word, and then your desires are God's desires, and there ain't enough devils in hell to stop God from getting his desire because he's the creator.
Amen.
And as the Bible says, everything that was ever created was made for and it was made by and for God.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I don't want that. I want my own way. Well, you ain't the creator. He was. Amen. I believe as Christians we're part of him, but we didn't make the choice. He did.
Amen.
Glory to God. And I'm so glad for God's choice. It was so much better than anything I ever could have come up with.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Just like the devil, he quoted to Jesus. And I said this on Wednesday. If you just know, it's Psalms 91:11 that the devil quoted from. He didn't quote it. He only took part of it. And he said, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Wait a minute. Keep thee where? How's the angels going to keep you if, see, he couldn't do that. He couldn't say that part. He had to skip over that because that would mean that they'd have to stay in the Word.
Right.
And he said, no, I can't tell the Son of God to stay in the Word. I got to get him off the Word. So I'll just take that part out and just quote the rest of it and just hide. And Jesus saw right through that. And brother, sister, I don't care what preacher comes. I don't care what signs, what signs and wonders, what kind of deception they come. If you've got the Holy Ghost, it'll cipher out that devil every time.
Amen.
You might not get it here, but you'll get it in here. Amen. And if you'll humble yourself to the Word, God will give you grace to walk where you're supposed to. Because you get too far on one side, you just start blasting everybody that says something wrong. And you lost all the grace. And you go too far to the other side, you'll make excuses why it's okay for everybody to do all that. But the perfect law of liberty says it's not okay for us to sin. It's not. We will reap for it. And what's the worst part is you'll forget who you are. You look in the Word and you know what a believer really is. But if you stop doing what the Word told you to, you'll totally forget. And you'll suffer for it. You'll bring reproach on yourself. You'll bring reproach on your church. You'll bring reproach on your experience, your testimony. Come on. When you go acting just like everybody else in the world and caring about the same things and stuff, there's something wrong somewhere, brother, sister. I'm not saying you're lost. I'm saying you're backslid. And you forgot what you saw and you begin to think, no, I'm this. No, no, that's what you used to be. That guy's again dead. There's a tombstone over there. Quit looking at a mirage. There's a tomb. Look this way. There's an empty tomb. That's what I'm looking at. I'm looking at the one that rose again and I want to raise with him. Don't let me lose my vision, Lord. How do we keep the vision? But that's the difference that so many people have come up with. Even in the message, they do this. They begin to create an image as a thought, just a human thought. But that's not the way God's images work. God's images are real.
Amen.
When God created a man in his own image, there was a man standing there.
Yes.
It wasn't a picture. They didn't do nothing. It was a man standing there. Can you see it now? And when we abide in the image of God, it's not just, oh, I think this, it's, here it is.
Amen. Yes.
Yeah, that's right. I should love them as myself.
Amen.
Come on now. When you get in your prayer closet, I'm putting others before myself.
Yes.
Come on. Hallelujah. And continueth, this man shall be blessed in his work. Why? Because he can have perfect faith. Because he's recognizing that he is becoming the Word just like Jesus did. That's a mouthful. But he was born the Word, but he kept becoming the Word. It's a life. That's how God does things. He doesn't build things with block and mortar and everything. He takes life. And it starts in one seed. And where does it come from? Don't ask me. I don't know. But it'll make what God says it will.
Amen.
Just to think that every apple, every tree that we've ever seen came from the first one. God just made one, and how many have ate an apple this week, you know? And it didn't come from nowhere else. It came from that same one. Amen. And every child of God came from one. That's right. That Melchizedek that was on the throne that wanted to have fellowship with you. And God's made a road to bring us back. Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Woo. I'm enjoying the Lord this afternoon. John 15. Turn with me. This is actually the only, in the book of James that we read, that's the only time the word religion is used in a positive sense. Every other time it's just rules and regulation. But what is James trying to show you is that it'll look like to the world what they got as religion, but if you want a pure religion, it's the word being made flesh. If you want a pure religion, like he said, it's visiting the fatherless. What does that mean? You have, if you're, especially in the Bible times when they wrote the Bible, because it's still the Bible times, but you understand, someone who was fatherless really needed help. Because you weren't going to go, the real widows that had nowhere to go, they needed help. And for you to help them, you would have went into that knowing you're not getting anything in return. Because they have nothing. So that's that, again, that's that love, putting someone else before yourself. And before you think that's all it was, remember the last part he says, keep yourself unspotted from the world. So there's still that consecrated life to Christ. That's right. Don't tell me you got pure religion and you love the things of the world. It's just not there.
Right. Amen.
Because Jesus says it here in John 15, verse 4, abide in me. What does abide mean? It doesn't mean just show up. It means stay there.
Amen.
And I know church is just a building, but I'm telling you right now, I've seen it time and time again. The way people usually approach church is how they approach God. If you're a legalist, you'll approach church legalistically and you'll approach God legalistically. But if you're in love with the Lord, you'll love church.
Amen.
That's right. At least you better. You're going to the wrong one. Because you got to abide there. You got to stay where God is. You got to do what God said. And it doesn't matter what anyone else says. I don't care. I love you. But if you're going off the cliff, I'm not following.
Amen.
I'm going to stay with the Lord. I'm going to abide in Him. And this is where the revelation that Jesus is the Word is so important. Because so many people say, oh yeah, yeah, the Lord told me that. Oh, really? Really? Well, I just quoted the Scripture where it said the exact opposite. Well, you know, but Jesus told me that's okay. No, it's not. Because He just, Jesus, the same the one you're saying it's okay, already said it wasn't. Just going to leave that alone for now. I'll come back to it, I'm sure, in a minute. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. And he is the Word. So if you're not following the Word, not obeying the Word, not in the Spirit, you're doing nothing. You're wasting your life away is what you're doing. Because Jesus said that, you can't do anything without me. If a man abide not in me, look at this. It's not only bad enough that you're not doing anything for the kingdom, but that's not all that's going to happen. You're going to reap for that. He says, if any man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. But Jesus, you're not preaching like Jesus. If you spurn grace for the last time, you're going to get judgment.
Right.
Amen. And look, we believe that. We all do in the natural. For some reason, we don't in the supernatural, but we do in the natural. If a man's given chance after chance after chance after chance, you'll say, look, the guy's already had 10 chances, just like the guy you see goes to jail in a revolving door.
Right.
He's in, he's out, he's in, he's out, he's in, he's out. Eventually, you're like, why are we still having grace? Just leave him in there. Oh, that makes sense. But all of a sudden, the man that goes sin, 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 church, sin, church, sin, church. Look, if he don't want it, it's not like they don't know. If a man's ignorant, that's one thing. But if a man knows, you don't need to have pastor meetings. You don't need counseling. You don't need all this stuff. You need to get honest with God and sincere and find him, you and him, until he gets in you and you die.
Amen. Amen. Yes, sir. Amen. Hallelujah.
Either you can be burned up then or burn up now. Lord, let the Holy Ghost burn me up now so I'm alive in Christ. All right. Now keep reading here. Verse 7. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you. So Jesus didn't give you no room to wiggle out of that one. You got to believe the word to believe in Jesus. Ye shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Let's just keep reading. This is just too good. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue me ye in my love. Oh yeah, I believe in love. Really keep reading. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love.
That's the same thing James said earlier. If you'll just look in the law of liberty and stay there, and you'll abide in God's love, you'll do what God said, you'll repent when you're wrong, you'll live a life that's consecrated to Christ.
Amen.
And what will happen? Anything you ask for. Look, even as I have kept my Father's commandment by in His love, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Glory to God. This is my commandment, that you love one another, that your joys may be full. Isn't that right?
Amen.
Can you see the same message there that we just read in the book of James? It was the same thing. The apostles weren't going off on tangents. They grabbed it right from Jesus' teachings and said, this is what we need to do, brother, sister. If you love the Lord, you'll do what He said. If you love the Lord, actually, you're going to become the Lord. If you love, you and Him will become one, because that's what the Bible says. I hope this ain't boring you. But that's the Christian hope, brother, sister. We used to think we were just going to go to some place in the clouds. Now we realize we're going where we've always been.
Yeah.
We're not going to heaven. We're returning.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm not getting married. I'm already married.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm going to a supper where I celebrate something that's already done happen.
Yeah.
Woo! United time and sign, 1963, we see the nations uniting. We see the world uniting. We see the church uniting. We see the bride uniting with the Word.
That's
glory. Why? The Word is God. As the bridegroom being the Word and the bride being the hearer of the Word, they come together in a union. They unite like a wedding. See, they're getting ready for a wedding and they become one. The Word becomes you and you become the Word. Jesus said, at that day, hallelujah, we're going to turn there in a minute. At that day, what day? This day.
Sure.
We find out that the great hidden mysteries of God are being revealed. Oh, how I like that.
Amen.
Listen, I actually have that scripture somewhere. It's John 14. We're real close. 14, it's actually the same page for me. 14 and 19. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye shall see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. At that day, ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them. Where do we get this grace without following the Word? I just can't understand it, brother, sister. For you to admit that you've received the Holy Ghost, it will always drive you to that Word. You'll always do it. You won't fight it. You won't buck against it. You'll come to it every time you can. You won't need a preacher to say it. You won't have to have someone force it to you. You won't have someone kick you on the rear and say, come on, get to church. Come on, read your Bible. Come on. No, there's something on the inside. It says, I love the Lord. I'm going to keep His commandments because I know Jesus said it. And His opinion is the only one that matters to me. And God has brought us to where we've got the ability now, more than ever, to serve the Lord.
Amen.
Don't look at the obstacle. Look at the ability that God has given to the church. We can't be deceived on any end because God's opened the Word. As now we can see that we're in the Father.
Amen.
And the Father's in us.
Amen.
Wherever Christ is, there I am. So Christ was never worried about the devil defeating Him. The first thing Christ was led to do was to go be tempted by the devil for 40 days. First thing He was led to do. And we think we get baptized. Well, done with trials. All done. No more trials. Going to feel great. No, you're just signed up for war, buddy. Get ready. But stay on that Word. Stay united to it. And the more you receive... Oh, I got to read it. I know I got it somewhere. At least I thought I did. Maybe I skipped over it. Well, here, I got to read this one anyway. This is what it was. There it is. Perfect faith, 1963. Jesus had perfect faith.
Amen.
And nobody has any problems believing that. Can I keep reading and keep believing?
Yeah.
That'd be great. Jesus had perfect faith. He had it. And it come because He was the Word. That's the only qualifier.
Uh-oh.
He was the Word. So we had perfect faith. And you become the Word. You become the Word as you receive the Word. So where's the excuse that you can't have perfect faith no more? Where's the perfect faith? Where's the excuse that, well, I could believe, but. That's all been deteriorated. That's right. I want pure excuseless religion. Amen. Let me keep reading. If you abide in me and my words in you, my words, which this word abides in you, then ask what you will and it'll be done for you. See, if you say to this mountain, be moved and don't doubt, but believe in what you've said, then you can have what you said. When you pray, believe that you receive what you ask for and you shall have it. It will be given to you. Time, space, nothing else will ever change it. You know it's done. It's already over with. Now watch. Now, and he said to us, if you abide in me and my word in you, St. John here, you can ask what you will to be done. Then recognize your position in the scriptures as a believer. See, you've got to recognize your position as he recognized his position.
Amen.
Glory to God. See, Christ wasn't an exception. He was the first example. Oh, hallelujah. It is written that Christ should come and all Christ would do. He said to Cleopas and that and them that morning. Isn't it in the scriptures and that he must suffer and then be killed and raised the third day? He said, why are you so slow of understanding? And they thought, my, this man speaks a little different than other men. Come to find out when they got in the inn, it was him. See, their eyes was holding from him. See, they know that he kept laying to that scripture and they knowed it was him. Now you must believe what you asked for. If you are a believer, recognize yourself as a believer. Recognize that these things are for you. But as we go to approach that promise, what's going to come across to you is an excuse why you can't have that promise. Why we can't have perfect faith. Why this disease that I have has no cure. So there's nothing I can do about it. This dilemma that I have in my life, no man's ever gone through it and nobody can overcome it. I'm just going to have to deal with it until Jesus comes. That ain't the faith that Christ had. He had perfect faith. He had faith so much that all he did was watch a little, I don't know what you'd call it, but a mother lost her child and she's walking there crying and they're carrying the casket with this boy. Look what perfect faith did. They didn't just say, oh man, that's just sad. That's really bad. Something, compassion moved on the Savior. He said, I feel bad for her, but enough that I'm going to do something about it. And perfect faith went over there and says, oh, I don't want to watch you cry no more. I can't handle it. Just boy sat up. See, perfect faith gets the job done, brother, sister. Perfect faith still lives today.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We don't have to succumb to the situation. We need to rise above it. How? I'm a believer. I'm the same word that walked in flesh 2,000 years ago, walking again today. I've got something I can praise the Lord for because when I ask, He hears.
Amen.
What I say, it will happen because I'm not saying it in myself. I'm saying it by the unction of the Holy Ghost. And the same perfect faith that moved the Son of God to raise that boy is moving me to my healing. It's moving me to pray for that saint. It's moving me to the supernatural. It's moving me back to good health. Come on, it's moving me back to faith in God and to where I don't worry about it no more. It's moving me back to that peace that passes all understanding.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
The devil just always come right before you get to there. He'll just throw excuses at you. Why are we getting so quiet today? You ain't never been here before? I'll tell you I have.
Yeah.
Just about the time, and I wish you could be a preacher and see what you have to go through before you get results. Hallelujah. If it ain't your unbelief as a preacher, it's the person's. And if it ain't that, it's the atmosphere. The devil's attacking on all sides. But as long as you'll keep pressing and keep saying, no, the word's here today. God promised this. He said if we lay our hands on the sick, they can recover. So I just ain't going to pay no attention to this. That's right. And as long as every believer does that, the devil will always defeat it. He don't got a chance in the world. But what will happen? He'll start telling you little excuses, little things on why you can't do it. He's doing it right now. I'm telling you, I've seen more yawning in the day than I have in a while. But that's because I know what the devil, he's about to get exposed here in a minute. I'm going to tell you. You ready? Are you listening? Oh, no, you're just picking on me, brother. No, sometimes I need discernment. Sometimes I just look with my eyes. But is your life worthy of the gospel, 1963? Listen now. Don't get condemned. Repent and get up. What if I was giving away, and I read this here, I think Wednesday or so, but I was going to give away capsules here that's scientifically proven that this capsule would make you live 1,000 years. Well, I'd have to get a militia out here and swarm them away from this place. You wouldn't have to make an altar call for it. You just have to beat them away from it to live 1,000 years. Yet scientifically proven that the eternal God, all of his power of his resurrections, which promised you eternal life, and Satan will put his legions out there to keep you away from it. And everybody's got an idea of what a legion of devils look like, but listen to him what he says now. See, yet you can look and sensibly enough to look in the face of it and see it's all right. But then turn it down, see? Something, some kind of an excuse. It's too hot. I'm too tired. I will tomorrow. Just some kind of an excuse. That's all they do. By rejecting the day of visitation, it separates you from God. Because when you hear the word, the day of visitation, brother, sister, if you want to type, as I try to close here for a minute, I hope you still got your attention. In the Old Testament, what was their day of visitation was a Jubilee year. It was a Jubilee year. It was a year that you could have been a slave. You could have been Israelites. They could have worked for each other. We don't think that we have slavery. We have it now. It's called labor. But that's the slavery that they put you under. You got to do it. You can't do nothing about it. Because how are you going to live if you don't do what they tell you? Anyways, they had a man would serve his brother for a while because he had a hard time or something, needed help, and he'd become a slave to someone else. And he could serve it for 7/7 of years. That's right. But every 50th year, something happened. A sound went forth. A day of visitation came from God that God gave and says, when the Jubilee sounds, drop your hoes, drop your shovels, go free, go back to your land of possession. If you sold it off, doesn't matter. You get it back today. And the gospel goes preaching, brother, sister. And when you hear it, oh, don't turn it down. That could be your last Jubilee. Receive it and say, I'm dropping this weight of sin. I'm dropping my complex. I'm dropping all my ideas. And I'm just running right back to that inheritance in the Word as fast as I can. And if you'll do that when you hear the word, there ain't no devil stop you from getting there because it was God's promise. Amen. If a man responds to the Jubilee, he goes free.
Amen.
No exceptions, no excuses.
Amen.
But if the man decided, you know what? This sinner life ain't too bad. You know, I mean, at least I get fed. That's what they thought in Moses' time, didn't they? At least we have, I mean, all we eat here is manna. Just the same old word, same old messages. Not to mention that it's supernatural dropping out of the sky and you can listen on a tape and hearing people be discerned, healed, and raised from the dead and come out of cots. No, just ignore it. It's just a boring tape. I showed you you're in the wrong spirit. You're in the same spirit they were. Said, I want the cucumbers. I want to go back to the leeks and cucumbers in Egypt. Isn't that right? I'm done with this, man. I don't want nothing to do with it. I'm going to go back. What happened to all of them? I don't plan on seeing them again until they fall in a lake of fire. Jesus said that. He said they're every one, without exception, dead. He said, you're trying to... He said, look, God fed these men out of heaven. He's like, what does that matter? They're all dead. That's not what you need. You need me. Because any man that eats of me lives forever. Because I'm the Word. You need the Word. Don't make an excuse to receive the word. If you don't believe that I'm here, you'll die in your sins. But if you can, I don't care if you've been a prostitute your whole life. You can go free. The Jubilee sounding, go.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Repent and come back to God. Let me finish on this quote. Lord willing. Is your life worthy of the gospel? 1963. It's a little bit further down. I just recognize that too myself. Now we notice in the Old Testament that they had what they called the Jubilee year. That was when all the people that were slaves could go free when the Jubilee sounded. And then if a man did not go out, if there was some kind of excuse that he could give that he didn't want to return to his land, then he had to be marked in the ear with an awl by the post of the temple. And then no matter how many Jubilees come along, that man was sold out. He could never no more come back as a citizen of Israel, no more. What did he do? He rejected his invitation. He didn't have to pay nothing. The debt of his slavery was over. His family was free. He could go back to his homeland and get his possessions. But if he refused to do it, then he wasn't lauded no more with Israel, and his possession was given to another. Before you think that's just Old Testament, that's where Jesus got his parable. He said, go send out the invitation. Tell them to come to the supper. I've got it ready. And they said they began to make excuses. I've got a new wife. I got this. I got that. And Jesus said, look, if you're not willing to sacrifice or to deny your father, mother, brother, cousins, children, and even yourself, you're not worthy to be my disciple.
Amen.
Don't even take the first step, brother, sister. That takes a death to self because your love will pull you back. Don't ever compromise the word. You stand on that word. You stand on the word. It's the only thing that's going to help in many ways.
Yes.
That lukewarm life don't help. It's the consecrated life that helps. He's lying no more with Israel. Same thing in the natural applies to the spiritual, that if we, as inheritance of eternal life, you believe that now, don't you? Amen. It's your inheritance. God gave it to you before the foundation of the world. If we, as inheritance of eternal life, and we hear the gospel and know that it's true, and we reject it and refuse to do it or listen to it, we take on the mark of the beast.
Oh my.
Now somebody said, now there's going to be a mark of the beast. It's going to come someday. Let me tell you, it's already come.
Amen.
See, as soon as the Holy Ghost began to fall, the mark of the beast began to take place, see? And you only have two things. One of them is accept it. Takes the seal of God. To reject it takes the mark of the beast. To reject the seal of God is to take the mark of the beast. Everyone understand?
Sure.
To reject the seal of God is to take of the mark of the beast. For the Bible says, all that was not sealed by the seal of God took the mark of the beast. And that ain't Brother Branham doctrine, brother, sister. That's the Bible.
Amen.
That's Scripture. He said, we all know that whoever the beast deceives is going to be burned in a lake of fire. That's right. The beast and the false prophet and the devil and the serpent and all his subjects were thrown into the lake of fire. You say, well, I'll be all right. No, you don't. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, look, how are you not going to be deceived?
Right.
And we're going to sit there and talk about foolish virgin all day. I understand that's in the Scriptures, but that ain't what we're talking about. We're talking about those that have heard the voice. Those Pharisees had no chance at repentance. But those Ephesians who never heard of Jesus yet, but then came later on with the apostles, they could receive it. But when they were right there and they could have received it and they turned it down, that was it, brother, sister. And God's given us grace after grace, chance after chance. I thank God for all of us. Because we've all, I don't know a man that hasn't needed more than one shot at it.
Right.
Hallelujah. I'm trying, but... And even when we come to wanting to serve the Lord and do what's right, brother, sister, have you lost your vision? You can't even do what God's called you to do? You've received the Holy Ghost, but you've so long looked at things of the world that you've lost who you are, and you're way over here somewhere, and you know deep down, I'm supposed to be over there. What am I doing over here?
Sure, amen.
Hallelujah. I'm going to use you, Brother Dan. Is that all right today? I know I'm scaring him, but that's all right. I think he can handle it. I wanted to ask Brother Dan to be a trustee a long, long time ago. Probably one of the first times he came. But Brother Dan, for a while, had a hard time. He was missing service every once in a while. And I just couldn't do it. But one day, look, I didn't go and say, hey, Brother Dan, by the way, I'm just going to let you know. If you start coming to church all the time, I'll make you trustee. Wouldn't that be wonderful? And that's what some people do. No, a man's not really qualified to be a deacon, but they'll still, well, if you did this, this, and this, then we'll make you one. That ain't the way God runs his program. God gave Brother Dan a revelation about coming to the service. That's right. And once I saw that revelation take place, then it was easy. He's like, yeah, come on. And you can already tell he's got trustee written all over this place now. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord for that. Amen. I believe that's the way. Praise the Lord, brother. That's right. That's the way God is supposed to operate. But if you're not being led by the Holy Ghost, I could preach it all day. It's not going to change nothing. I've watched people come to this church, much less on the tapes, much less on where I've been before this. We've seen the glory of God everywhere we've gone. Come right there, get delivered, get the thing they wanted, it's gone, discerned, whatever, and then walk right back to the things of the world.
Yep.
What else can a man do but preach the word?
Right.
Think of the frustration of Jesus Christ. Look, there was two times it said he marveled. Does anybody know? One time he marveled at the centurion. He marveled at two things, real faith and real unbelief. That's right. He marveled. He said, man, he said, this guy, he was so humble. He said, I'm not showing up. I don't even want to be, because I'm not worthy to talk to this man, but I'm going to send him a servant of mine. But I know if he'll just say it even to someone else, whoo, glory. And it's the word, I'll believe it with all my heart. He said, I got a servant that's dying. And as long as they tell my other servant, as long as it comes through that preacher that I've said, I don't care. That's fine. Whatever. As long as I hear the word from the master, I know it's going to happen.
Amen.
And he said, I've never seen such faith in all of Israel.
Right.
He said, go tell him he's fine. And they said, the servant got well, but that master was careful to go back and says, when did he get well? He said, it was the same hour that he prayed that Jesus had said that. Glory to God. And he marveled at that faith. But there was another time when he was in his own country where the people should have believed him, the ones that he knew as well, came from the pasture. The old guy that knows all about me. And the same thing happened. And he said he marveled at their unbelief. It said many works he could not do because of their unbelief. Does that mean unbelief has power over God? Not at all. It means that those unbelievers can't get nowhere, because if you don't believe, it doesn't matter. I can't do nothing about it.
Sure.
If you love the devil more than God, you're gonna worship him.
Right.
But if you want freed, oh hallelujah. If you want a way out, there's always a provision. God's always brought the word right when you needed it, hasn't he? In every Christian life, if you've never got to that place where the word shows up right when you need it, brother, sister, I don't know, I'd be checking up, because God sends his ministering angels to take care of us. And they bring that word right when we need it, and we get out of them cages that we put ourselves in. Glory to God. I want this with all my heart. I want to see that more. I want to see people that believe this with all my heart too. Pure. No more excuses, no more boo-hooing and all this stuff. Just raise up in faith and say, yeah, it's hard.
Amen.
Yeah, this ain't fun, but praise God, we're going to make it. We're going to go in a rapture. I'm going to believe for my family. I'm going to believe for my body. I'm going to believe for my church. I'm going to believe for my brothers and my sisters, my pastor, my deacons, whatever. I'm going to believe that this message is producing what it promised to, and I'm watching it happen.
Amen.
Don't get on a high horse up here and expect it to go to all the world. It's already done that. And what did they do? They turned it down just the same. How are we going to do anything different? No, it's time to knuck down and say, God, I'm here. I might have this one little position. I might witness to one soul my whole life. But Lord, as long as that's what you wanted me to do, I'll be as faithful as I can. That's pure religion. That's undefiled. It's like, Lord, you know, we think many times. I've been trying to close for 20 minutes. We think many times, what am I doing for the kingdom? I'm just out here. I'm just... You know, a lot of times God or the devil will tell, man, you're just a 9-to-5 guy, and you just go home, and then what? Tell a lot of sisters, say, well, yeah, you take care of your kids, but who cares? What does that matter? You know, what do we, and then a lot of times older people, you know, they think, well, I'm just existing. I don't really do nothing. But then every one of those times I just said that, you can find a man in the Bible or a woman. That's some of the greatest stories we ever heard were in that case. That's right. There was I think it was Amos. He said he was just out there in the field, just doing his job. He said he wasn't no prophet, no son of a prophet. And all of a sudden the word of the Lord came to him and says, go preach.
Right.
What was that? He said, get it, drop it and go over there and tell him. Tell him repent. All right. And he went. That's right. There was another one that was beating her chest at the temple and wanted a son so bad that the priest thought she was drunk.
Yeah.
Now they just think you're drunk because you're just sleeping. But back then it was because she was travailing in her soul. You know what happened? It birthed the deliverer.
Uh-huh.
That's right. It birthed Samuel the prophet in his day that delivered Israel.
That's right.
Amen. And then, oh my glory to God. There were two at the days of Jesus being born. They were in the temple, just serving the Lord. Didn't really look like they were doing much, but they prayed every day. They sought the Lord. And one man got a revelation. I'm going to see the Lord before I die.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And everybody said, oh, man, he's just old, crazy. It's fine. He'll be all right. But he said, no. One day, there was a little boy born. And he went in there and said, oh, I've seen your salvation, Lord. Let me depart in peace. And shortly thereafter came an old widow woman. Isn't that right? Widowed for, I forget, 70 years or something. Come out of there, just spend her life in the temple. Led by the Spirit came in Anna. That's right. Said, there's our salvation. Here's what we've hoped for. It's right there. And what priests and prophets and things... And all these Israelites had missed two old people in the temple somewhere praying, saw it. And if all I want to see is the resurrection, I don't care what position I have, I don't care what you think, as long as I see Jesus, it'll be worth it all, brothers. Praise the Lord. Let's stand together. Praise His name. What a promise we have, brother, sister. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, do you appreciate Him today?
Yes, Lord.
Thank the Lord Jesus.
Praise God.
Thank the Lord. I'm going to go a different direction. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. 19 or 540 in your book. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Oh, I love you. I adore you, Lord. Yes, Father.
I love you. Adore you. I bow down
before. Lift your voices now.
Heavenly Father, I appreciate.
Oh, yes, Lord. Praise your name today. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. I love you. Adore.
Just express your heart now to him.
I bow down before you. Heavenly Father, I
just let everyone else fade away. Let the Lord take over your mind, over your heart, over your soul. Oh, yes, Lord.
Heavenly Father.
Don't you appreciate
him?
Don't you appreciate his grace in your life that you're even alive today?
Heavenly Father, I appreciate.
Yourself.
Heavenly Father, I appreciate.
Thank the Lord for his spirit. Sing it again with all your heart. Oh, praise his name.
Heavenly Father, I appreciate you.
Hallelujah.
Heavenly Father,
prayer, would you come now? Thank the Lord.
I love you, adore you, I bow down before you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate
the Lord. Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for being so faithful to us and hearing our prayers so many times, Lord. We know how the devil fights, but we know we've got the victory, Lord. And we believe your promise that we'll see her healed, Lord. We won't see this pastor, Lord. We won't see all this pain and suffering, but we'll see the joy of the Lord on her face. Not only just her body, but her soul. With you, Father, just continue to spread to each soul, my sister's family, Lord. As you brought so many, just keep bringing them all, Lord. We pray, we commit it all to you. We give you thanks for hearing us, Lord, and we thank you that we'll know we'll receive these requests as well. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Never let go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Heavenly Father.
All the doubts and fears and complexes, Lord, and temptations of the enemy. May the power of God raise in the world in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Before you, heaven.
pray. Amen.
Heavenly Father, I appreciate you.
Brothers, I pray that you'll bring healing to it. All the pain away. We'll give you all the praise for your healing power. Bless my brother to believe the word now. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Praise his name. Believe what you pray for now.
Heavenly Father,
his presence is here. You receive it in your heart. You receive the desires of your heart. Delight in the Lord now. Yes, Father.
Heavenly Father,
all things are possible. Believe it with all your heart. Hallelujah. Oh, bless him.
I love you, adore you, I bow down before you, Heavenly Father, I appreciate you.
Holy Spirit, you're a comfort to me. Is he your comfort this afternoon? Thank you, Lord.
Oh, Holy Spirit, you're a comfort to me. Holy Spirit, you're a comfort to me.
You lead me, you guide me, you're dwelling inside. Yes, Lord.
Oh, you lead me, you guide me, you're dwelling inside me. Holy Spirit, you're a comfort to me. Create in me a clean heart. Oh, God.
5:39, if you want. Create in me a clean heart.
And a right spirit within me.
Believe it with all your heart. Yes, Lord, create in me a clean heart.
Oh, create in me a clean heart. Oh,
soften yourself before me. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord.
And renew a right spirit within.
Cast me not away. Yes, Lord Jesus.
Oh, cast me not away from thy presence, oh Lord.
Bow this afternoon as Dad plays it again. Do you love him with all your heart, brother, sister? Does he mean more than life to you? Find where you are in the presence of the Lord. Your neighbor don't matter in this place. Your thoughts about it don't matter. It's recognizing the word in yourself. And say, Lord, do I measure up to your requirements? What's his requirements? It's grace, brother, sister, but you have to receive it. There's got to be something on the inside that says, no matter what I feel, no matter what I say, no matter what I might think about or what's happened in my past. God's word is right. If I love you, Lord, I'll do your commandments. Brother, sister, if you want to be a Christian, you've got to see yourself in the word and then stay there. Don't ever go nowhere else. Don't invest in any other image. Invest in the image of Christ. The devil will tell you, no, you got to do this because that's the only way you can pay your bills, the only way you can do this. But remember what Jesus said, seek first the kingdom and I'll take care of the rest of this. There's witnesses all over this room that know that that is true. That when we put it in our own hands, what happened? It fell apart. We tried doing our own strength. Oh, it made sense. It was logical. But it never got nowhere. You know why? Because you're not a son of the devil. You're the son of God. You're a son of God that's got the Holy Ghost, and you can only act as a son of God should. And that's a heart full of faith. Putting the word first. I believe it with all your heart. Is there anyone here that would say, Lord, forgive me and bring me back to right fellowship with you? God bless you, saints. Hallelujah. Don't worry about anyone else. You just you. I'm not Christianizing you and I'm not de-Christianizing you. At the end of the day, my judgment doesn't matter. It's God's judgment that matters. Oh, hallelujah, there's deliverance happening. You say, that's just me crying? No, it's all over this room. That's you getting right, brother, sister. That's that devil being exposed. Hallelujah. Praise Him now. Say, thank the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for bringing me to that clean heart. Thank you for bringing me back where I ought to be. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'd rather see what I'm seeing now than all the shouting and screaming I could. Heart's getting right with the Lord. Amen. The shouting comes after that. Oh, glory. Oh, hallelujah. It comes from a heart that's freed from sin. That can say, Lord, I know I'm worthy to praise you because the blood's taking effect in my life. Hallelujah. It's you now, Lord. And I know you're worthy. Oh, blessed be His name. Blessed be your name, Lord Jesus. We lift you up, Father. I glorify that you can do what no man can do, Lord. You can discern hearts and show us what we need to know when we need to know it. Oh, thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for speaking to this people. Even here in the end time, the world wouldn't think it's much, but I believe that there's tens of thousands of worlds worth of souls being preserved for the kingdom of God that's soon approaching. Oh, don't let a one miss it. Father, I raise them as trophies of the message of today, Lord, of the word of the hour. That, Lord, they'll shine forth in glory on that day, a glory that is not even worthy to compare with our sufferings now. Oh, blessed be your name. Don't let a one miss it, Father. I pray you'd put every roadblock, every storm in the way before we'll ever go down that path to destruction. Keep us on the right path, that holiness way. Father, that we obey your word because we love you, Lord. That wherever we go, we're going to serve you. Wherever we go, we're busy about the Father's business and not our own. God bless each one. God bless your believers today, Lord. Thank you for hearing their hearts cry, Lord, and answering their prayers. We're careful, Lord, to give you all the praise today. Thank you for hearing us, Lord. Thank you, Lord. May not a one miss it, we ask in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Oh, do you just want to praise Him and worship Him? Just enter into that spirit of worship away from just all the things of your flesh. Where you don't even worry about it no more. You just love on the Lord. What a presence from God here. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we just move out of the way and His Shekinah glory takes over. Thank you, Lord Jesus. What more could God do? What more could He show? What more do you want to know besides that He loves you? Oh, Jesus. How do I know He loves me, Brother Andrew? Remember when you should have died and the officer said, it's a miracle he's even walking. We watched others get in car wrecks, others die of disease, and here you are still standing. Others wreck their lives so bad they can't find no way back. They're out in the world somewhere. and you were there too, but just like the prodigal son, one day you woke up. What woke you up, brother, sister? It's your identity, who you were. I'm not a pig. What am I doing out here? I'm the son of a king. And I'll go back, not with pride, but with humility, that, Lord, I'm not even worthy to be called a son, but I'm not leaving you ever again, Father. Just go right back into the arms of Jesus. He'll take you right back. Let that blood wash you clean. Let the Holy Spirit fill your soul with love, joy, and peace. Hallelujah. And it'll produce that life that produces the Word, brother, sister. You can bank on that. The Holy Ghost in a believer will always produce the Word of God. He ain't got to manufacture it. He ain't got to make it up. He'll just bear it out. It'll just become who you are. Keep receiving that Word. Even right now, just keep receiving it in praise. Say, Lord, yes, that's me. Yes, Lord, I receive the Word, and I'm becoming the Word as I receive that Word. Lord, I don't want to have any excuses. I want that perfect faith. And I know when I recognize myself as a believer, that's how Christ did it, and that's how I'm going to do it, Lord. Hallelujah. Ask abundantly that your joys might be full. Go ahead. Go right on out there and ask. Pray for each other. Pray for your needs. Oh, hallelujah. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Oh, I love Him. I love you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'd like to sing one more worship song. Oh, He's worthy of praise. Worthy, worthy. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Let's just sing that together. Sit still, Jesus. Worthy. Oh, worthy. You can be dismissed if you'd like to this afternoon.
Oh, worthy.
Be the Lamb. Lamb that was slain. Oh, worthy. 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 The Lamb that was slain. Is He worthy today? Give Him praise now. Yes, Father, You're worthy, Lord.
Oh, worthy. Worthy. The Lamb.
Give Him praise. Give Him honor. Give Him glory. Thank the Lord Jesus. Believe all things are possible.
Worthy.
Blessed be His name. That was slain, and I'll praise Him. I'll praise Him.
Oh, I'll praise Him. Oh, praise Him.
I'll praise the Lamb that was slain. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. I love Him with all my heart.
Oh, I love Him.
Yes, Lord, I love You, Jesus.
I love Him.
I love the Lamb
that was slain.
Glory to God. Yes, Lord.
Oh, I love Him.
Worthy. Worship him. Let's praise his name. Glory to God in the highest. Thank you, Father. Thank you, blessed Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, blessed.
Blessed be his name. Blessed be his name. Thank you, Lord. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord for his word. Thank him for his truth. Thank him for his power and his love. Lord Jesus, you're worthy of praise. You're worthy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you believe it with all your heart this afternoon? Amen. Say, Lord, all things truly all possible. They're all possible through me. You promised it, Lord. And if it gets down to where it's just one, Lord, I'm still going to be standing. Still going to stand on that word. Why? Because I believe this is the day that the bride of Christ recognizes who she is.
Hallelujah.
And the devil becomes totally powerless before her. Amen. I want to sing that before we go. I want to rejoice a little bit. And I think this says F. Go ahead and try F. If you don't know it, 531. This is the day. This is the day. But before I forget, we've got Josiah Cornett here Wednesday, because I'm sure you all looked at the calendar and already knew that. But we got Brother Josiah for Wednesday night. Because we got communion on Saturday. I'll be preaching communion service at 6. And I know there's something else. Well, I think we're going out to eat today. I'm happy to have everyone come together. Just love fellowshiping with y'all. I'll tell you what, you just cream of the crop. I don't know how many believes that. By grace, I don't know. You just think. Just thinking back, 10 years ago. How we all get here? I'll tell you how. It's because the Lord called us. He called us all. So will the bride come together? He said, not necessarily in Tucson or anything, but they'll all be one in one place. You know where they'll all be? In Christ. And they'll all be there waiting on the coming. God bless you. And I believe this is the day. So let's sing that as we go. God bless you, saints.
This is the day. This is the day that the Lord hath made. That the Lord hath made, I will rejoice, I will rejoice, and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord hath made, I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord hath made, that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice, I will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord hath made, I will